Shalom, Stephen Yah here on YahvahYahweh.name, setting you free from the tyranny of bondage, from the tyranny of petty things, of religious, ecumenical, political, global problems, setting you free with the truth of the scriptures. We read there in Matthew 7:7 that people follow customs instead of following Yahweh's word. One of the customs these days, in the last 50 years, in the year 2010 now, is to have multiple marriages. Matthew 19, verse 9, the Messiah is talking. I say unto you, whosoever shall put away his wife, except it be for fornication, except for porneia, and shall marry another, committeth adultery. And whosoever marrieth her, which is put away, does commit adultery. Also see Romans 7, verse 3. We'll be examining some booklets today, some periodicals. One from GiveShare.org, Biblical Marriage and Family. You can find that on their website, GiveShare.org. And it's available for free. You can also get that in a nice light green cover in printable form. A table of contents for biblical marriage and family is very interesting and revealing. Let me read portions of this for you. Marriage, theme of the word, the scriptures. From Genesis to Revelation, the scripture's dominant theme is faithfulness in marriage. The evangel is about the saints being married to Messiah forever. Marriage teaches us the permanence of the eternal kingdom. Divorce and Remarriage by Herbert W. Armstrong on page 5. DNR is America's national sin. Now he uses the title G-O-D here, which on this website we do not. We use Yahweh. Yahweh holds the ministers to blame for not telling the nation his truth. Yahweh, not man, joins husband and wife together. Yahweh's laws of marriage apply to all people and races. Messiah said, whosoever puts away his wife except for fornication and marries another commits adultery. Whosoever puts away his wife except for fornication, that is, illicit sex before marriage, and marries another commits adultery. Thus, adultery is not the biblical grounds for divorce. Adultery is not. Fornication is. Illicit sex that enters before marriage and in fact continues on through the marriage. But it better be discovered quickly and put away, as Joseph was going to put his wife Miriam, his virgin wife Miriam away, the woman who gave birth to the Messiah. Thus, adultery is not the scripture grounds for divorce. Many divorced and remarried people are living in adultery and must not continue in sin. We read in the book of Ezra where they ran into this problem in the last chapter of Ezra. A voice from the past on marriage and divorce. A Sabbath-keeping minister from 50 years ago would be shocked to see how the church today allows unscriptural divorce and remarriage. 1 Corinthians 7 does not allow a Pauline privilege to DNR, divorce and remarry. A message to a young couple getting married. Is there life after divorce? A refutation of the Ron Dart article in the 1990 issue of the International News. Mr. Dart is wrong in saying that no marriage is binding for life. New Testament usage of the word for fornication, porneia, does not support divorce and remarriage for adultery. Questions on DNR are real answers to real life questions regarding DNR. A failure of logic, defining the porneia exception clause in Matthew 19:9 as unlawful sexual acts before and after marriage, resulting in allowable divorce and remarriage for any and all reasons. The failure of logic. That's in this book, Biblical Marriage and Family. There's much more in here. Child rearing. You can punish your children in love. Principles of good child rearing. Another great article is marriage and divorce. The faith once delivered about marriage and divorce. And it's, I'll give the website. But what was taught before examining the various ways in which the doctrine of divorce and remarriage affects us, what did we originally teach? Then and only then can you perceive and understand the significance of how your life is being affected by those conflicting beliefs. The Church of God taught the following regarding marriage and divorce. When two eligible people sincerely and solemnly covenant with each other in the presence of witnesses to take each other as husband and wife, and upon consummating that covenant agreement, by becoming one flesh in coitus, they are bound by the eternal Yahweh as long as they both shall live. Once again, I'm changing the substitute title of G-O-D and a few other words in here. The titles, I'm changing it to Yahweh. Yahweh is witness to all marriage covenants. It is Yahweh alone who binds marriage. Man cannot unbind what Yahweh has bound. Before a marriage has been bound by Yahweh, however, it may be annulled due to the discovery of fornication or other sexual perversion, porneia, committed by one of the partners before marriage or hitherto unknown by the other. There's no such thing in the word as a divorce in the sense of unbinding a marriage that Yahweh has bound. Divorce for adultery, desertion, or incompatibility is not allowed by Yahweh. Anyone who marries someone wrongfully put away also commits adultery. When one becomes a believer and discovers that he or she is living in an adulterous union because of past divorces and remarriages, he must separate and either be reconciled to his true mate or live a single life. Yahweh is not a respecter of persons. Being in the assembly or out of the assembly makes no difference. Ignorance of Yahweh's law is no excuse. Hosea 4, verse 6, and all. Hosea 4, 6. Acts 17, 30 as well. Then I said that we are going to go through Ezra, a little bit there, the last chapter of Ezra. And then we'll look at this article here, The Faith Once Delivered About Marriage and Divorce, on page... We're going to go to, I'll tell you in a second here. We're going to go back to Ezra now. That's located near Nehemiah. And let's see, it's before the Book of Psalms. Somewhere around Job there. Okay, Job looking backwards from Nehemiah. And then going to Ezra. When they had this situation on their hands, what were they to do? Well, for one thing, they weren't going to abandon all the wives and the children and just say, well, the law said that we were not to have been married in the first place, so just goodbye and take care, you know. No, we still had to be responsible. The men had to still care for their former family there, but it was an improper family. So... let's see. So let's go to Ezra chapter 10, I think. Chapter 10. Now, Ezra had prayed, and when he had confessed, weeping and casting himself down before the house of Yahweh, there was assembled unto him out of the Hebrews a very great congregation of men, women, and children, for the people wept very sore. And Zechariah, the son of Jehiel, one of the sons of Elam, answered and said unto Ezra, we have trespassed against Yahweh, and have taken strange wives of the people of the land. Yet now there is hope in the Hebrews concerning this thing. Therefore let us make a covenant with Yahweh to put away all the wives and such as were born, or rather as are born of them, according to the counsel of my Lord, and one of those that tremble at the commandment of Yahweh, let it be done according to the law. Arise, for this matter belongeth unto thee. Ezra rose up, and all the Hebrews, to swear that they should do according to the word. Ezra rose up from before the house of Yahweh, went into the chamber of Jonathan, the son of Eliashib, and verse 7, and they made proclamation throughout Judah and Jerusalem unto all the children of the captivity, that they should gather themselves together unto Jerusalem, and that whosoever would not come within 3 days, according to the council of princes, all his substances should be forfeited and himself separated from the congregation of those that had been carried away. Then all the men of Judah and Benjamin gathered themselves together unto Jerusalem within 3 days. It was the ninth month and the 20th day. All the people sat in the streets of the house of Yahweh, trembling because of this matter, and also because of the great rain, R-A-I-N. And Ezra, the priest, stood up and said unto them, You have transgressed and have taken strange wives to increase the trespass of Israel. Therefore make confession unto Yahweh, the Eternal, of your fathers, and do his pleasure, and separate yourselves from the people of the land and from the strange wives. See back to verse 3. Then all the congregation answered and said with a loud voice, As thou hast said, so must we do. But the people are many, and it is a time of much rain. We are not able to stand without, neither is this a work of one day or two, for we are many that have transgressed in this thing. Let now our rulers of all the congregation stand, let all them which have taken strange wives in our cities come at appointed times, and with them the elders and the judges of the city, until the fierce wrath of Yahweh for this matter be turned from us. Verse 16, the children of the captivity did so, and Ezra the priest, and certain chief of the fathers, and skipping there, were separated and sat down in the first day of the tenth month to examine the matter. First day of the, on the new moon, to examine the matter. And they made an end with all the men that had taken strange wives by the first day of the first month. So the new moon and the new year. And then he gives their names. And they gave their hands that they would put away their wives, and being guilty, they offered a ram of the flock for their trespass. And all their names are listed there in the Ezra chapter 10 concerning the strange wives, mixed marriages there in the book of Ezra. So they, it's not written, but I'm sure that by loving Yahweh, loving their families and loving their children, the wives and children that they provided for them anyway, that they are responsible for them through their life. Well, at least for the wife anyway, the children, when they came of age to earn their own living, then they'd be able to take care of themselves without any outside or exterior support. Now back to this article about the decision that was made in 1974 to condone divorce and remarriage for any reason, or for most reasons. And we're going to be reading from referring to Matthew 19:9, but reading from 1 Timothy chapter 1. The Apostle Shaul continues, Knowing this, that the law is not made for a righteous man, but for the lawless and disobedient, for the ungodly and for sinners, for unseparated and profane people, for whoremongers, for them that defile themselves with mankind, and if there be any other thing that is contrary to sound doctrine. The righteous man, knowing Yahweh's plan and the indissolve of marriage, you can't dissolve the marriage, does not seek a way out. Yahweh's laws, which prevent the putting asunder of marriages, once they are proper and well established, were made for the unrighteous, those hard-hearted individuals who would attempt to do this very thing. Against the acts of the righteous man there is no law, Galatians 5:23. Truly Yahweh's marriage laws were expressly made for the unconverted. They were given to man to show him what sin is, so he can know of what he must repent of. If there were no such laws, then the unconverted wouldn't have any way of repenting. They wouldn't know what was wrong. And when called to Yahweh's truth, though, they do have that ability to recognize their failure to measure up to Yahweh's law. They need to repent as well as to trust in him for their salvation and ultimate righteousness, not only a pseudo-righteousness, not only being covered by his righteousness, but spirit-wrought righteousness, spirit working in us, the righteousness of him to obey, in other words, to love Yahweh. And to say that the unconverted do not have to obey, Matthew 19:9, is to say obedience to the Ten Commandments is not necessary for the unconverted. Likewise, to use 1 Corinthians 7 to say that Yahweh does not bind marriages of the unconverted person is to say that he is not consistent and that he is a respecter of persons to the converted and the unconverted. Malachi 3:6 and Romans 2:11. So they, according in this article here, the truth that was once delivered, the faith once delivered about marriage and divorce, this is very important now. Listen up. Very important then. Attempting to get around Yahweh's laws by saying, I'm not responsible because at the time of my past marriage and divorces, I didn't understand Yahweh's laws and I wasn't converted. That's simply an excuse of human nature to justify rebellion against Yahweh. The book of Hosea contains a prophecy for the people of Yahweh in the latter days. One of the pivotal texts of the entire scripture is Hosea 4:6, in which Yahweh shows that his very people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. It wasn't that they didn't have the knowledge of Yahweh available at one time. They did, but they rejected and forgot Yahweh's law. You can say, oh my, I forgot, you know. Well, that's one thing to, you know, just forget and have a, but to have a selective memory, or a selective amnesia about it, selective disobedience is another thing, to just intentionally forget Yahweh's law and to disregard it and just shrug the shoulders and go on and say, well, I'll do it my way. And then at the end of our life we'll say, is that all there is? So Yahweh will reject and forget them until they repent. And this is not referring to the people of Yahweh of old, but his people in the latter days. Those latter days are upon us. We are in those latter days now, as well as the apostles and the apostle John. Yahweh says, therefore the people that do not understand shall fall. They are guilty of committing adultery and have the spirit of whoredoms. As a result, Yahweh is going to withdraw himself from them until they repent in their affliction and punishment. Yet, members say, Yahweh will never forsake this church. So we are referring to the book of Hosea, chapter 3, it's chapter 2, 23, chapter 3, 5, and Hosea 4, 6. Hosea 8:12, Yahweh says, I have written to him the great things of my law, but they were counted as a strange thing. Or as the living word says, even as I gave her 10,000 laws, she'd say they weren't for her, that they applied to someone far away. As in the living letters. In the last day, someone will be attempting to say that Yahweh's law apply to a limited number of people under certain circumstances, whereas all others are excused from obeying them. Yet Yahweh says his laws are for all who have human nature and sin. And if we say we do not sin, we are deceiving ourselves. 1 John 1 and Hosea 12:8 and so on. But we know that Yahweh came to magnify the law and make it honorable, and that Messiah did not contradict himself. This is very interesting reading. So I think you'd be able to pick it up either from giveshare.org or from cogte.org and study and enjoy and bringing back right relationships with Yahweh and with Yahweh's family, with the congregation. I don't know where you'd ever even find a good congregation these days that totally keeps the way Yahweh says that we should keep his appointed days and feasts and doctrines. The doctrine of DNR is just getting so mixed up, so confused, and so much mixture, syncretism, mixing New Age beliefs, ecumenical beliefs, psychology, and as we mentioned, immorality all together, and you know, it's all being sugar-coated and candy-coated under the title of love. They're changing Yahweh's laws, times and seasons just as it says there in the book of Daniel. If we could turn there, turn to the right to the book of Daniel after Isaiah and Jeremiah and Ezekiel, and go to Daniel 12:9, I think it is, or is that 9 something? Or now let's go to chapter 12, and that'll do it. It will, 12 verse 1. At that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince, which stands for the children of thy people, and there shall be a time of trouble, such as never was since there was a nation, even to that same time. And at that time thy people shall be delivered, every one that is shall be found written in the book. See Jeremiah 30. And many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. Also see Hosea 13:14. Right now we're in Daniel 12, verse 3. And they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever. But thou, Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book even to the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. Then I, Daniel, looked, and behold, there stood the other two, one on this side of the bank of the river, and the other on that side of the river. Verse 10, many shall be purified and made white and tried, but the wicked shall do wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand, but the wise shall understand. And from the time that the daily offering shall be taken away, or maybe in English, more accurately, sacrifice, but not zebok, the Hebrew zebok, and the abomination that maketh desolate, set up there shall be 1,290 days. Blessed is he that waits and comes to the 1,335 days, about 3.65 years. But go thou thy way till the end be, for thou shalt rest and stand in thy lot at the end of the days. And we are going to read there that the false prophet shall think to change times and laws. You can read more of the book of Daniel there if you're interested in that. Please drop us an email by either hitting the email or contact button. And we appreciate your listening today. We hope to be getting together again in fellowship in the name of Yahweh and Yahushua the Messiah. And we praise him and lift up his name and his covenant, his feast days, his word, his law, his Torah, and old and new, so-called Old and New Testament. Thy word is truth. He said in John 17:17. Also in the book of John, we need to read that in chapter 1, where the Messiah wrote down for us, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with Yahweh, and the Word was Yahweh. The Jehovah's Witnesses and their new kingdom interlinear translation, whatever it's called there, they put the adjective was a God. Well, there is no a in those scrolls, not even in the Greek. So in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with Yahweh, and the Word was Yahweh, and the same was in the beginning with Yahweh. So the Word was with Yahweh, and the Word was and is Yahweh. So why do we treasure the Word so much? Because he is the Word. Verse 18, no man has seen Yahweh at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he has declared him. Shalom.